Welcome back to Digesting Dark, where we're tackling the Netflix series Dark one episode at a time. For this podcast, we rewatched episode number 7 of season 2, titled The White Devil, and we're here to talk all about everything that happened in it. I am Zach Brooks, and I am joined by the Claudia to my Egon, Aaron Brooks.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. Yeah, I didn't think of one for this, and that was the first one that came to mind. I guess like Claudia Egon is the key to this episode. Although you could be the Jonas to my Claudia.
Yeah, it was called White Devil.
Yeah, so the White Devil, the Black Angel. We'll talk all about that. So, of course, Digesting Dark, we are going through every episode of Dark one episode at a time, rewatching them through the end of season 2, which is only this episode and one more. Tomorrow's the finale. And then once season 3 starts on June 27th, this Saturday, we will start watching the episodes on first watch and talking about them without any knowledge of what's coming in the future. So we are almost to the start of that third and final season. So make sure you do not miss an episode of Digesting Dark by subscribing on your favorite podcatcher, Google, Apple, Spotify, player.fm. You also can subscribe on YouTube if you prefer to get your podcast through YouTube. We do put them all up on the Digesting Dark YouTube page. And you still have a couple days to get in your feedback, because the end of the week we're going to do a Q&A season 3 preview show. So get those to us either in the YouTube comments or on Twitter at BrooksZA and at Aaron JAY Brooks. We already started compiling some good questions. So got some feedback and things that I think we're going to be watching, especially as season 2 starts to wrap up. I think I've noted a couple things in there that I definitely want to make sure that we talk about heading into season 3, some questions I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
One thing, speaking of feedback, one thing from our last episode. So yesterday we talked about season 2, episode number 6, which was An Endless Cycle. That was the one where Jonas goes back to the day before his father kills himself. One observation I had that I didn't bring up, and I definitely meant to, was that at the party, when we see Martha and Jonas spending some time together at the Ulrich and Katerina anniversary party, they're both in all white. And I think that is interesting to note the times when people show up in white. I mean, especially in an episode that we're talking about right now, The White Devil, to have two characters show up in white like that.
Yeah, I also did note that, but
yeah, I don't know. Maybe we did bring it. I don't think we brought it up, but
no, I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, I remembered it too, because, you know, the opening of this episode, we see all the characters sitting across from people that they love, that they're trying to get back. And we see Adam sitting across the couch from, or sitting on a chair across the table from Martha, and Martha is in that all white outfit once again too. Thought that was an interesting thing to know.
Yeah, there is a couple shots of the characters sitting across from the person they were kind of obsessed with. Or,
in that opening montage, or you mean in general?
Mm-hmm. In the opening montage.
Yeah. Yeah, so we do open with Adam and Martha. We see them. We see the one that we do see that is not in that. It kind of stuck out because it was a little bit off. So, you know, we see Adam and Martha. We see Jonas and Martha both looking at the coin. We see Katerina and Mikkel sitting across from each other. And then we see those chairs go to empty. But then throughout this montage, we also see Hannah taking the suitcase. So that didn't really fit, because that was something that actually happened in the episode, whereas, you know, Adam is just thinking about sitting across from Martha. Katerina is thinking about sitting across from Mikkel. It's not actually happening.
Yeah, I think those are just like supposed to. Yeah, I think those are supposed to just like symbolically show, because throughout this episode, I mean, it ends up showing up at the end with Claudia. Her whole obsession is Regina. All these characters, Ulrich, Hannah, Katerina, every character has that one person that they're obsessed with more than Jonas with Martha, has that one person more than anybody, Bartosz with Martha. Has that one person more than anybody they want to save or to be theirs, or they want to change so that things are different. Everybody has that, you know. And Claudia, it wasn't really that clear till this episode how much like Claudia was obsessed with Regina, but apparently it's all about Regina. That's basically why she kills Egon.
Yeah, I'm still a little bit unsure where her true loyalties lie. I mean, Egon says that she only cares about herself. We know that's not true. Claudia was there to try to protect Egon from dying in the first place until, much like Jonas in the last episode, she realizes that that's what has to happen. And I guess it's to save Regina, but I feel like it's just to, in general, it has to happen to like reset the timeline and set things right and save everybody.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's an interesting point to bring up people's obsession. And I did note that, you know, we see Hannah taking the suitcase, which obviously has the time travel machine in it. I guess if you think about Hannah's obsession being Ulrich, the suitcase is her way to see Ulrich again. So, yeah, we are seeing all of these people with their obsession.
Yeah, and it's the paradox of like love and hate, because at the end of the day, she's going back truly to ultimately punish him even more. So, which is what she said to Alexander from the first season. She wants to punish Ulrich. So,
yeah. So, and we can talk about it when we get there, but do you think she went there with the intention of punishing Ulrich, or do you think she went there with the intention of trying to get Ulrich back and then realize
it doesn't matter what her intentions were going there? I mean, she went there wanting Ulrich, and then when she saw it, and immediately we can talk about it when we get there, but immediately he brings up Katarina and his family, and it sets her off. She realizes he's never going to be hers. So then she's back there already, so now she's going to punch him. So it doesn't matter what her intentions were really going back. I think it was that she wanted to see him, and that he was going to just see her and fall, it was going to be this storybook thing she's always wanted from him, but it wasn't.
Yeah. All right. We'll see when we get there, and we'll talk about it. So then we go. This episode, we have the three timelines. We got the 50s, the 80s, and the 2020 timeline. And it's a lot of Egon and Claudia. So we start with Egon and Claudia. Of course, this is the 50s. It is younger Egon and Claudia's dead body, older White Devil Claudia's dead body. They note that she has two different colored eyes, which has been a way that they've identified people before in the show. The different colored eyes with Claudia has been brought up a couple times in this episode or in this show. And Egon remembers that this woman actually came by the police station the day that Helge came back, and she apologized for things. Egon is not sure why, what she was apologizing for, but then they start putting together maybe that Claudia or the White Devil woman had something to do with Helge coming back.
Yeah. They say she could be the accomplice to the madman.
Ulrich. Right, the accomplice to the madman. Of course, Ulrich is who they're talking about. They mentioned maybe she could be his mother, which I thought was a funny way to phrase it. Of course, she's not Ulrich's mother, but everybody's so connected, and we're always asking, is that somebody's parent? So I think that's like a fun meta way to bring that up. Again, we still don't really know much about Daniel Conwald, but that is who he's talking to in that scene, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, because there's another cop that we see sometimes that's not Daniel Conwald that I don't think has a name. We see him in this episode as well.
Yeah, no, this is Conwald.
Okay, and then the coroner also notes that there's a lot of radiation on the body, like she's been exposed to radiation for a long time. And so Daniel Conwald tells Egon that he should go check with the Doppler kid. He should go check with Helge. So Daniel is kind of guiding things in a certain direction. Here he's pushing Egon to go talk to Helge.
Yep.
Then we go to the 80s and we see Claudia. She is reading about the particle results. So we've just saw her dead body, which has been exposed to a lot of radiation. Now we're seeing Claudia in the power plant, and she's interrupted by her secretary and realizes she totally lost track of time and wants to know what day it is. So we've had people asking what year it is. Now we've got Claudia asking what day it is.
Yep. And the French delegation's coming again.
Yeah. I feel like that's another, like, the Waller thing, where they just keep teasing out this, like, mysterious French delegation and how Waller got his eye injury, and we never really find out. So she says she wants to punt on the French delegation. They'll have to reschedule it. So they had the French delegation scheduled, and they have to reschedule that. So I guess the French delegation is just not going to meet with Claudia, because she's going to disappear by the end of this episode.
Yeah, it's just another example, I guess, of characters avoiding their responsibilities.
Yeah. I just wonder if the French delegation has been coming and trying to meet with Claudia, and then she's no longer there. You know, what happens the next day in the 80s timeline with the power plant? Maybe we'll find that out in the next episode. But
yeah, I'm not sure.
All right, then we're in the 2020 time, and the stranger wakes up. Doesn't jump out of bed. He just wakes up normally. And he sees that Hannah is gone, as well as the briefcase or suitcase with the time machine in it. And we see Hannah is walking into the cave with the suitcase. And we see Katarina. She's going through all the time travel notes and noting that, you know, the people who have disappeared. This is setting up our 2020 people that we're going to follow in this episode, mostly the stranger and Hannah and Katarina and their journeys during this episode. All right. So then we see Charlotte and Peter. They're talking about Noah, how he interacted with Charlotte in the last episode and revealed that he is her father. They're looking at the picture of her and him as well. And she brings up the phrase that he used, only those in the bunker make it.
Yep. Which the bunker again was Charlotte, Peter, is it Trante?
Yeah, I do think Trante's in there. Elizabeth, Noah are both in there as well.
Yep.
So younger Noah's in there.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, this is another example of the bootstrap, right? By the next episode, they're going to go to the bunker, but they wouldn't have thought to go to the bunker if Noah had never told Charlotte about the bunker in the first place.
Yeah. It just seems like everything in life can be chalked up to a bootstrap, though. Like, life itself is a bootstrap.
Well, yeah, except that the ideas come in real life, sequentially, right? And in this show, the ideas come from somebody from the future telling somebody about something they already know.
Yeah, it's just all messed up.
Yeah. They by the end of the next episode, they will be in the bunker when the apocalypse happens. Charlotte also brings up that Noah said her mother is alive. I don't remember Noah saying that.
Well, he mentions how he was looking for her and that he was going to bring her back to his mother.
Yeah, I guess it's more that he found out that he found out what different times people were at. So that might be what they're talking about there.
Yeah, and he's talked about how he's traveling through time for her to bring Charlotte back to her. So I think she's maybe making an assumption or reading between the lines a little bit.
Yeah. Charlotte's mother, though, going to play a key role in the finale.
Yeah. A little bit out of nowhere with how little, like, kind of setup they have with it now.
Yeah.
Through the season. I thought maybe there'd be some, like, between the lines type of, you know, little hints or something, but it's not really addressed until the finale, and, like, then it's there.
Right. And so, we are seeing a few times throughout this season, but, you know, more than we saw her in season one, but it's not like she's playing a huge role until you know how she's going to play into the end game.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be similar to Scarface. I think Scarface is going to be a huge role next season. Mm. That kind of pops out of nowhere from this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like
she's
that.
She's definitely a key. She looks way too much like Martha to not be related to Martha.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's a good point.
We'll see.
So then we see Clausen. He's looking at the photo of him and his brother. That's another one of those 80s brothers photos, much like we have with Ulrich and Mads. And he gets word from one of the other inspectors that they got the report on the Marburg passports. Of course, Marburg is the city that we learned about in the last episode. That was what Alexander was reading the newspaper about the unsolved murder. And there's only one Alexander Kohler during that period. And then Clausen says a line about the eyes they see, the ears they hear, and no secrets remain hidden. And the other police officer notes that he's quoting Freud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that police officer pops up very occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like a version of that in the 50s timeline as well. So one of the people who commented mentioned Freud, and that, you know, Freud is famous for the id, the ego, and the superego, which is three. And the word ego is very similar to the word egon.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know if we have anybody that's close to id or superego. Superegon, I guess. So Bartos is then talking with Martha and Magnus. While he's talking, Martha's looking at the coin, the St. Christopher coin, and she tells them that she thinks Jonas is back. But Francisca thinks that they need to tell somebody. They need to tell everybody about what's going on because they don't know what to do with this information about time travel and that they just went to the 80s and they know how it works. I noticed that it was weird the way people were standing in this scene. And it might have been because I paused at this point, but Magnus and Elizabeth are standing on one side with Martha in between them, and then Bartosz and Francisca are standing on the other side.
I didn't really notice that.
I don't know.
I noticed they were on the train tracks.
Yeah, they were on the train tracks. I just feel like Magnus and Elizabeth...
on the rails, I should say.
Yeah, at the bridge. Magnus and Elizabeth really never interact with each other, and Bartosz and Francisca really don't ever interact with each other. So I just thought it was interesting to have them positioned that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really notice it, but... yeah, still everybody's like really in their colorful clothing still, so... that's something I still kind of notice is that the colors are still there. Mm-hmm. It's not as muted as it is in the first season or after the apocalypse.
So. Mm-hmm. And Martha is mad at Bartosz for not telling them soon.
Yeah. She's like dead set on being mad at Bartosz.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's Bartosz's fault and everything can be solved by Jonas, according to Martha.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bartosz did know about this time machine, clearly knows enough about it to know how to use it, because later in the episode, nobody can figure out how to use the machine, but Bartosz knows how.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been involved definitely for a little while here, obviously following Noah's lead. And you know, he's just another Tiedemann who is just a pawn in this big game. Then we go back to the mansion, Doppler Mansion. We've got Greta. She's talking to Egon and Helge, and Egon is coming to interview Helge about what he knows about Claudia. He shows her the picture of the White Devil, and Helge finally speaks. He says he told me about her. I guess the he's referring to here is Noah. Mm-hmm. Then Egon asks about the White Devil, asks if he knows anything about the White Devil. And Helge says she wants to kill us. Egon says she's dead, she can't hurt us. And Helge says she hasn't even started yet. So Helge knows that obviously this woman that they're investigating is Egon's daughter. He might not realize it's Egon's daughter, but realizes that this version of this woman has not even started her work yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, it was interesting to see, be back at this house. So still no Burned. We still don't know where he is.
I think he's left at this point. I think that he found out his version of the truth about Helge, and that was enough for him to give up on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those where, you know, he might be disappearing, much like Claudia is disappearing, right? Like at the end of this episode, Claudia disappears to travel through time. Maybe that's what Burned is doing as well.
Yeah, or he's just fully dedicated to a power plant at this point and nothing else.
Yeah, yeah, we just don't know where he is. I'm surprised through this whole rewatch how little Burned we got.
Yeah.
I mean, we've only seen him in a wheelchair like two times. And I guess we did see him meeting with Claudia a few episodes ago about the radiation at the power plant, about the God particle. But then since then, we haven't seen him, and we'll have to see if we see him in the finale.
Yeah, I don't remember if we do or not.
Yeah. So yes, and it was good to see this house. So somebody else pointed out one of the things that I didn't realize is that this mansion, the Doppler Mansion, is what becomes the Winden Hotel in 2019.
Oh.
So, I didn't put that together, but it's the same building. They just turned the mansion into a big hotel. So that's a giant mansion, if that's what happens to it.
Mm-hmm. Them. Yeah, then I'm really bad with the geography on this show.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I try to pay attention to it. It definitely makes it. It's nice how they tie stuff together. So it's interesting to see that when that mm-hmm. becomes the case.
Yeah, it's interesting that the Dopplers end up just in another random house. Is Charlotte and Peter just in another random house then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And Regina ends up taking. So the Tiedemanns end up taking over that mansion. If that's the case, I don't know if that's confirmed. That's just what somebody said. So I'll have to, next time they show the outside of the hotel, maybe we'll have a chance to pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then we go back to the 80s with Egon and Claudia. Claudia shows up at Egon's apartment or house or whatever, and she says that she took the day off, but wants to know why he hasn't started moving to her house yet. She says, why waste any time? Egon says that he prefers it at home and then mentions that he has to go to chemotherapy today.
Yep, more radiation for the Tiedemanns.
Yep, I noticed that too. So it's a nice reversal that we have Claudia is full of radiation in the past, but a future version of her. And then Egon is going to have a low level of radiation as well in the
80s. And then Regina, of course.
Yep, and Regina gets radiation. And Bartos has done at least some traveling. I mean, enough that he knows how to use the machine. So he might be continuing the family tradition of having radiation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then we see a scene between Clausen and Waller. Speaking of the Tiedemanns, they are at Alexander's office. They're meeting with him at the power plant. And they're there to arrest him. They show him the information from Marburg and talk about the last personal ID from Marburg, the Alexander Kohler. That's him. He says, do you notice anything weird about this? And Alexander looks at it, doesn't notice anything. I think even if I was trying to hide something, I wouldn't notice anything here. Because the difference is that it says that he's 5'8", but he's only 5'6".
Yeah, I mean, that seemed really weird to me.
Yeah, like, and Alexander says this is ridiculous, and I agree. I mean, it's 2 inches. Like, I don't know if the height, in, you know, probably not the weight on my driver's license is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, that's... 2 inches. Also, so what I don't quite get with this, and we get into it later when he's talking to him about his brother being named Alexander Kohler and disappearing when they were kids. Why? I mean, if he just, like, you could grow 2 inches, or I guess shrink 2 inches. I mean, people shrink when they get older, over a number of years, right? So if he was 5'8 when he disappeared, doesn't mean he
could be 5'6. Also, don't they use the metric system in Germany?
Well, that might have just been
the translation.
Yeah, which is still kind of weird, I guess. But yeah, I didn't think about that. I just figured that was the subtitle translation.
Yeah.
So, then we see the stranger. He's looking at all the photos. This time, not on the wall. They are on the kitchen table in the Conwald house. Martha comes to the door. He hears Martha at the door. The stranger opens the door to Caesar. And I thought this was really good acting by the guy who plays the stranger. He really looks like he's seen a ghost. Like, you know, knowing that at the end of the next episode, Martha is going to be killed. This is the first time that Jonas has seen Martha probably in a very long time.
And he also knows this like brief moment of like niceness is not going to last longer than 30 seconds.
Right. Because the truth is going to come out. Right.
Yep. Truth is going to come busting through the door with a with a wrench.
But before that happens, Martha said she wants to know Hannah's opinion. She's asking the stranger who he is. Martha starts having deja vu, much like Hannah did in the last episode that we saw. And Jonas mentions that it's a glitch in the matrix or a message from beyond. And this immediately gets Martha to know that this is Jonas that she's talking to.
Yeah, so like a lot of people, this is just like the move in dark. It's like make a reference to like whatever your person's weird line that only they say is. So like what would my line be if you came from the future and you wanted me to know that it was you that and like only something you'd say to me?
Well, if I tell you that now, it's going to screw things up when I do come back from the future. But I feel like it would be try 8.
Like okay.
Little Rascals. The Little Rascals came up in a conversation last night, and I was laughing at try 8.
Yeah, that's a great scene, too.
Yeah, 7, try 8.
Who plays the banker in that scene?
I don't know.
Who Mel Brooks.
Oh, it's Mel Brooks, okay.
Which is another Brooks, of course it is.
Yeah,
just ties it all together.
People were talking about how there's some not great cameos in that movie, but so I was worried that might be who the cameo was.
Mel Brooks is the banker. Unless I completely lied about that.
It does. I do think you're right, actually. I think that makes sense. What would you say to me if you came back from the future?
I don't know. I guess I shouldn't have asked the question. Because what would I say?
Don't ask a question if you're not prepared to answer it.
Yeah. What would I say that would let you know that was me? I'll have to think about that. I'll get back to you.
You could say it's a glitch in the Matrix, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Now at this moment, we set the wheel in motion. Now the glitch in the Matrix.
I'd probably just make a reference to Oz.
You trap me under a bench.
Yeah, now that's a rewatch podcast. We should do.
Oh man. I did note. So I searched in my notes for the word Matrix because I was like, I know this line has come up earlier. This line also came up in episode one. So it's not just a callback, but it's a callback to the very first episode. So it mirrors so much what we saw between Jonas and Michael in the last episode.
Yeah, I think they mentioned deja vu and a glitch in the Matrix in the first episode.
Yep. Yeah, it's the same line. Yep. So it's all part of one line. So it's a nice callback. Jonas asked Martha if she found the pendant. And there, once again, the St. Christopher coin. St. Christopher coin playing a much bigger role than Burned in this final season. Probably a bigger role than Elizabeth in this final season.
Maybe we'll see a Christopher character next season.
Ooh, yeah, maybe. All right, so yes, he's going to catch her up on everything. We're going to go then to the 80s, and we're going to see Egon getting his chemotherapy. I noted one thing that I think I'm not going to go back and rewatch all the episodes, but I did notice the clock behind Claudia says 2 p.m. It's around 2 p.m. And the clock behind Jonas, when we come back to Katarina showing up at their house, says 4 p.m. So if everything is kind of happening in real time, just over different years, and we're watching it, and it makes sense, right, that we're watching throughout the day. So it starts in the morning and goes to the evening. That you could actually judge how long things are going if you look for the clocks in the background.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe.
I know I pointed out before, like, the clock on Jonas's phone and if those numbers were significant, but I think even if you just watch it for how much time has passed, like, okay, so if this is happening, if this next scene happens at 2 p.m., that means Jonas and Martha are spending at least 2 hours catching up before Katarina interrupts them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things if I was going to go back and rewatch. Maybe I'll put that as a question for our feedback show. Like, if we were going to go back and rewatch this series again, what would be, like, the things we would pay attention to most? So, yeah, just keep that in mind. You can start thinking about that. All right. So, so Claudia is with Egon as he's getting his radiation or chemotherapy. Egon is asking her if she thought he was a good police officer. He's talking a lot about his past as a police officer. And Egon tells Claudia, you saw the world differently from the start.
Yeah, I don't know what that meant.
Yeah, I guess she was just always different as a kid. Of course, she didn't start seeing things with time travel until like 2 days before. Mm-hmm. And Egon says that, my problem is that I don't see the world for what it actually is. So Egon is finally starting to come around to what Ulrich had been trying to tell him, that he needs to open his eyes. He's not woke to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I think I did something really stupid in the past. And then he brings up Back to Future. He says the film where the kid and the old man traveled back in time in the car. And I was thinking, oh yeah, of course they're referencing Back to the Future because it only came out like 2 years before this, so it would be fresh in their mind.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and he mentions that he thinks time travel has something to do with Mads and Helge disappearing and all the other things that happened so long ago.
I forgot about Mads.
Yeah. Maybe we'll find out more about Mads in the next season, but it might just be that he's just like Eric and like some of these other kids. Remember the name of Elizabeth's friend who disappeared? Can you remember him?
Yassine,
yes, good job. All right, so then we go from 80s Egon to 50s Egon, and 50s Egon is also going to be meeting with a woman, and it is Hannah. Hannah is sitting in his office. I had a lot of questions about this scene, but I'll go over it, and then we can go through some of those questions. So Hannah is on all black. I wrote down that she's like the black devil or maybe the black angel, and Hannah says that she's looking for her husband. And she, Egon asks her what her name is, and she says, Katarina Nielsen.
Yep.
Of course, the Nielsens are the family that is living in Egon's house right now. And Agnes Nielsen is the one who is having an affair with Egon's wife.
Yeah, and he asks about it if she knows Agnes.
Yep, yeah, later on in the episode. Because I did note that. I was like, doesn't he recognize the last name Nielsen? I mean, it's like this town, everybody seems connected. You would think he would have asked. It just took him a little bit. So my big question, how did Hannah know to get to the 50s?
Maybe Jonas mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only way that it would be is that she knew Egon, or she knows Ulrich is in the 50s because of the stuff that she saw in the bunker when she was talking to Charlotte. But I mean, like, literally, how did she know how to use the machine? We've only seen that machine be used to go back 30 years. So how did she know how to go back 66 years? I mean, I guess she could have tried twice. Or maybe, yeah, like you said, maybe Jonas explained it, but...
I think Jonas explained it because in the last episode, Jonas even says, I shouldn't have trusted you as much as I did. Mm-hmm. So I think Jonas just unloads everything that Hannah needed to know to do what Hannah ends up doing.
Okay.
That would be my assumption.
I wondered if, because we've asked this question before, right? We asked it about Mikkel and we asked it about Gretchen, the dog. And both times, somebody actually led those people through. It wasn't just that they accidentally discovered time travel. It was that they were led through.
They were led to do it.
Yeah. And so I just wonder if, and there's another line later in this episode that kind of makes me think that, if Hannah was actually led by somebody back to 66 and shown how to go back to 66.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then back in the present timeline, the 2020 timeline, Martha and Jonas are sitting at the table and they're looking at all the pictures. She says that she gets it. She gets what's going on. All of a sudden, Katerina is at the door. She's pounding on the door and looking for Hannah. When nobody answers, she breaks down the door. So like you said, the truth comes barging in the front door.
Yep. And then right away, the stranger takes Martha and tries to like protect her and shield her behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a childish reaction.
Right. Definitely, and it's like a, you know, another kind of like a, you know, not like a love triangle, but a family triangle, right? We have aunt and grandmother and grandson.
Mm-hmm. And she unloads all of it about him.
Like, yep. Yeah. She tells everything to Martha. She says, do you know who he is? Wants to know if he told her where her brother is. She says, Mikkel is Michael. And, you know, he lets them know that Hannah has the machine because Katerina wants the machine to go rescue Mikkel.
Hannah and has Martha. The... Yeah. And then Martha reveals they have a machine.
Yeah. That Magnus has a machine. So that's another one that I would love to have watched is like, it's just really hard to track all of the different machines. I mean, I think it's just one machine. It's just different time, you know, different ages of this machine throughout the different ones that we're seeing.
Yeah.
Because one thing that kind of makes it tricky, and I'm not sure what's going to happen with this, is that Hannah has the machine back in the 1950s. So at some point, somebody has to get the machine from Hannah in the 50s, unless that's like narratively the last version of the machine, the latest version of the machine. So something has to happen in the 50s if Hannah is there and just stays there with the machine. Somebody has to end up getting that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's why Hannah gets killed.
Yeah. I think more and more I'm on board with the fact that Egon is going to end up killing Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably when he can't figure out what she's lying about or something. So then Clausen talk about his brother, how he disappeared like Mads, and like Mikkel. And Clausen says that his brother's name was Alexander Kohler. Clausen, much like Alexander, he used his mother's maiden name. So he went from Kohler to Clausen.
Yep.
I also noted that if all of this stuff happened when they were kids, 33 years ago, that height doesn't really make sense that is the reason why he knew it was him. But I guess he just needed a reason to arrest him. And Clausen says a few months ago, he got a letter. And he reads some of the letter. Again, like some of the stuff from Freud about eyes to see, ears to hear, and can't convince himself about secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And the letter says, answers about your brother can be found in Winden. It is signed a friend. So that is a mystery that we have. I don't think we get the answer to that in the next episode, is who wrote that letter.
Nope.
So who do you think wrote that letter? Do you have any suspicions?
I really don't. I'm not sure who would have the. I mean, someone who wants the power plant to be shut down.
Mm-hmm. Or at least drilled into to create the portal, which is what happens in the next episode.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Adam Stranger, I don't know.
Yeah, the whole Clausen and Alexander thing just feels so like separate from the main narrative, from the main the plot going on. So I'm just curious how it's all going to get connected together.
Yeah, everything is connected.
Yeah. Yeah, it just seems like a branch, right? That you know, especially with only 8 episodes, that we spent so much time this season with Clausen. You know, I mean, I don't know. I just can't think it's all just a red herring. So, you know, some of those things that we don't have the answers to just yet, I'm hoping those get tied up. But Clausen and Alexander and everything that happened with Alexander's past, where he was, I think that will be interesting to follow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then we go to the 50s. We've got Hannah and Egon, and they're driving to go see Ulrich. Egon is saying that Ulrich kept saying he wanted to save the children. He kept saying he was looking for his son. He asked Hannah if they have kids. Hannah said that her and her husband do not have any kids. And just, I mean, these are lies. I'm trying to think of any of this could be a basis in the truth. You know, she's saying her and Michael didn't have kids, but I think that she's just lying.
Yeah.
And Egon asks Hannah if she's heard of the White Devil. And she starts laughing.
Mm-hmm.
So she hasn't heard of the White Devil that I know of. I think that's just an Egon thing, really. Egon and Claudia. And then we get the reverse of this scene. So driving down the same road in the 80s, we have Claudia driving Egon. So now Egon is in the passenger seat. And he's talking about the man that he arrested in the 1950s. He escaped. He tried to run away with the little boy in the 80s. And they sent him. He said they sent him back. So Claudia is starting to believe him, or at least like validating what he's saying. And Egon looks really touched. He says, "You believed me."
Yeah, no one's ever really believed what he was saying about mm-hmm. this.
So Egon really putting the pieces together now that this man in the 50s could have been somebody who wasn't supposed to be there. And then he grew into the 80s, and it's all connected to the child that showed up. We get a big family meeting in the Doppler house next. We've got Magnus, Francisca, and Elizabeth. They are telling Charlotte and Peter about the time machine and that they did time travel. Peter wants to know, what year did you travel to? It's an odd first question to ask when you get all of that.
Yeah. I have my suspicions about Peter, too, since he showed up in 87. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think we need to not forget that Peter, being Helge's son, not his son from birth, showed up in 1987. Do you think Peter could be... could Peter be Alexander Kohler, who disappeared?
Yeah, I mean, he could be. They look kind of similar.
I was trying to figure out when they showed that picture who they looked like, and I do think that could be Alexander Kohler could be an option there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it would explain some of these like ancillary characters that don't seem connected.
Mm-hmm.
Has Clausen seen Peter at all in this season?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, maybe Peter's the one who sent that letter as well.
Yeah. Or Bernadette. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
Or Bernadette. Yeah, that's another ancillary character.
Waller's been working so much
with Clausen?
Yeah. And then one thing about Bernadette that was interesting is when Francesca brings up Peter and he refers to it as Peter and Benny.
Yeah.
So are they like good friends with this hooker or what?
Yeah, I guess, or maybe it's just that
like that's like a nickname.
Right, she's known across town. But it did seem like Magnus, when he met her, didn't know her before, so.
No. And she's referred to as Bernadette by everybody else. Mm-hmm. Benny is like, it seems like a family name. I wonder if there's like a incestual angle to it or something that we're mm-hmm. going to find out.
That's true, yeah. Like that they know, like this whole family knows Bernadette more than other people do.
Yeah, maybe they know that Bernadette isn't just, you know, a prostitute, but maybe it's like a sibling. Peter, I don't know.
Well, it is Waller's sister.
Yeah, we know Bernadette is Waller's sister, and Waller works with Waller works with Charlotte very closely. Uh-huh. So maybe it's just that, you know, it's like the family of her partner.
Yeah, who knows? But just a thought.
Yeah. So Martha calls Magnus, gives him the lowdown that Jonas is back. He says, just like Bartos predicted, that Jonas would be back. Then, you know, there's all these secrets are coming up. Francisca stands up and yells at her family and says, this is what's ruining everything. And yes, this is when she brings up Peter and Bernadette. I did note that Elizabeth is just kind of sitting there, and the camera, I think, ends on a shot of Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
So Elizabeth is going to have her own secrets that she doesn't know about yet. She's just kind of taking everything in. I guess, again, I keep forgetting that she's deaf also. So all this is going on around her, and it might be really hard to follow because she can't. Yeah.
I also noticed Magnus looks more related to the Dopplers than he does to the Time Lord or the Nielsens.
Oh, interesting.
Like, he looks like he's a sibling of those two.
Well, it's kind of weird to have this family meeting and then Magnus is there, right? Like, it's all of just their family and then Magnus as well. And I get Magnus is Francisca's boyfriend, but...
Yeah, and Magnus just looks nothing like Martha. I don't know. It's just...
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah, Magnus does kind of stick out. All right, then probably the scene of the episode here, I think, in the 50s, Hannah arrives at the mental hospital. She asks for some time alone with Ulrich. They start talking, and Ulrich, at first, you know, he's been much like his son Mikkel, right, where he's been drugged up and psychologically brutalized. He's, like, not quite sure what is going on. He doesn't even know if it's really her. Asks if she's an angel. Which, of course, she is an all black. So if we're, you know, the episode is about the white devil, the reverse of white devil is the black angel. And so Hannah is the black angel in here. And Ulrich is asking about Mikkel. He's asking about Katarina, Martha, Magnus. And Hannah immediately shifts as soon as he starts asking about all of his family and not asking about her.
Mm-hmm.
She says, it feels different seeing you today. And she brings up that she can't remember him ever saying that he loved her. And as soon as he says that, he starts saying, of course, I love you. I love you. I love you. He says it over and over again. He says, get me out of here and I'll leave Katarina. He's also like snotty, very snotty. His nose is like running everywhere. It's pretty gross.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a mess.
Yeah. He said, I wouldn't need anyone. This is what Hannah says. Hannah says, he said, I wouldn't need anyone. Who is he? This is the line that made me wonder, like, who is helping her travel here? Because some guy told Hannah, you won't need anyone. Who is this he? She says, I don't need anyone now. They start pulling Ulrich back. He's still yelling, I love you, but he's also yelling, she's a liar. So, like, two very different things. And Hannah goes back to Egon and says, that is not my husband.
Yep.
Did that line stick out to you that he said I didn't wouldn't need anybody? Because it just didn't make any sense in the moment.
Yeah, I guess no. Thank you. I didn't think about it in the moment, but now thinking about it, I'm not sure who that could be referring to.
Yeah. Maybe it's Adam. Maybe it's Bartos. So it's definitely a he. Yeah, it just seems like everything else has been explained so fully. The fact that Hannah just like magically knows to and how to go to the 50s to me sticks out.
Yeah.
Then we see a happy photo of the Nielsen family. Katarina is looking at that. But this photo, 100%, they are all smiling. They all look very happy. Now, I don't know if this is the exact same photo that we've seen before where they don't look happy, but we've seen family photos where they are not happy. Everybody's smiling in this photo.
Yep, I noticed that too.
Yep. Martha comes and hugs her from behind, which we've seen this like hugging from behind from a couple people. We saw Hannah do it with Jonas. I think Hannah also did it with Michael. So I guess it's just the way people hug on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And Martha says it'll all work out. Well, for Martha, she's going to die in the next day. So not going to work out for her.
Yeah.
Magnus comes back with the machine and he opens it for the family. So Magnus, Martha, and Katarina are opening the machine and looking at it. Magnus says he doesn't know how to use it because, of course, Magnus doesn't know how to use it. And they're talking about how Mikkel and Ulrich are in another time. I did note that this version of the machine looks very new. It's much shinier than some of the other versions we've seen. So is this machine that Bartos has been using and now that Magnus has, is this the machine early in its life cycle? And we're going to see it travel through different time periods, you know, throughout the show, and then end up being like a much more weathered, darker version of the machine.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's like very hard to track which machine, but it is just one machine. It's just different ages of the machine.
Yep, kind of like people. So, but the machine.
Mm-hmm. And then we go back to the 80s. Okay, maybe I misspoke. Maybe the scene between Hannah and Ulrich wasn't the scene of the episode, because this might be the scene of the episode. Maybe the scene of the season, really. Claudia and Egon go there to get his stuff, and Egon is starting to put things together even more. He's talking about how Ulrich went to the caves both times he tried to run away. What is in the caves? And he starts getting suspicious of Claudia. He says, "Why are you really here?" He realizes that the power plant is actually connected to the caves, and that maybe she's trying to protect the power plant. She gets very defensive and yells at him and says, "There's nothing in the caves and there's no time travel." He says, "We must search the caves."
Yep.
Before moving on to other parts of this scene, did you have any thoughts on what's going on here about him finally starting to put things together?
It's similar to how Ulrich is wanting to search the caves with Alexander.
Mm.
So... wants to, the closer they get to caves, the closer they're getting to being eliminated or disappearing.
Or taking off. Yeah, that's true. And it's another example of the cop wanting, being suspicious of the power plant, and this time it's his own daughter who he's suspicious of.
Yep.
She is acting suspicious, like the way that she's like, "You need to come back with me immediately," and all of that. Definitely kind of weird. So Egon says he's going to call the police, and he picks up the phone and he's going to let them know to start searching the caves in the power plant. Finally, Claudia starts to tell him more information. She says, "What is in those caves is beyond science. It turns everything upside down." That, of course, is the liquid God particle that's down there. Egon tells her that she has no heart and she only cares for herself. Of course, this isn't true. She cares about her family, but she's coming off looking like she only cares about herself. They start fighting over the phone, and it seems to last for a while that they're like pulling the phone. And I know where this was going, and I'm just like, oh, probably the first time I watched this, I knew where this was going too. Because I think we, the viewer, are starting, much like Egon, to start putting together like, oh, that he's going to die from mysterious causes. It's not going to be from the cancer. He's gonna do what he does, and he falls backwards. He hits his head on the table, and literally his blood is on her hands as she touches him.
Yep.
So she hangs up the phone, and I thought the shot was really great, because when she hangs up the phone, right behind it, you can see a picture of child Claudia right next to the phone.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
With the two loops in her hair.
Mm-hmm.
I think she does call 911, but then she hangs up before she can tell them what's going on.
Yep.
And she says the phrase, "There will be sacrifices. Everything must happen as it always has. And if everything goes right, she will live. Regina." So was this what the older version of Claudia said to her when they met? This line?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's just like another version of, in this show, people having to tell themselves the story they have to tell themselves so that their truth can exist.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what this is. Because I don't think everything she's been doing has been for Regina. That seems pretty disingenuous.
Mm-hmm. Right, I agree.
But it's like, tell yourself that now. Mm-hmm. Because that's where you're going to have to.
Right, and it does seem like this is what puts Claudia down the path to becoming the White Devil. That she thinks that she has to be this Time Lord in order to reset everything and make things that bad things never happen to her family. So yep. Tells herself, yes, there will be sacrifices. I know older version of Claudia talked about there being sacrifices in the last episode as well. So I thought, you know, this was interesting. I wasn't quite sure, you know, how the police didn't like realize that something nefarious happened when they get there to find, they find Egon, because there's obviously an article about it. And it says died of mysterious causes. Well, the mysterious causes don't look that mysterious to me. He fell backwards and hit his head.
Yeah, maybe they more meant who did it, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and that she didn't realize. I guess she only saw what she wanted to see, but it seems like she would have read in the article and realized that, like, this is what the situation is. But in trying to prevent Egon from dying, Claudia, of course, caused it. She was the cause of his death.
Yep.
And I do think that, you know, the cause of his death might have been prevented, right? He's bleeding out of the back of his head, but it seems like Claudia sits with him for a while before he fully dies. So had she called the police, she might have been able to save him. And maybe this was her choice to let him die, to sacrifice him in order to let everything happen as it should. And that she will, you know, that she can live. Regina can live.
Yeah, she definitely watches him.
Yeah, because when we come back to them, it's nighttime. The screen is like very dark blue. So time has definitely passed. And I don't know when he stopped breathing, but I don't think she sat with his dead body for that long. I think it was like he's dying slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And his dying words as he's looking up at her, Egon looks at her and he says, "You're the White Devil." So he finally puts it together that she was the White Devil.
Yeah, and maybe that's what sets her off on the path to becoming White Devil, is her him claiming she is.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if she ever introduces herself as the White Devil, though, but she's called that by everybody else. Then, you know, we get, you know, another great reverse with a young Egon and Hannah. They are in the 50s. Time is much better, 33 years ago before this moment. They share a cigarette. So Egon offers Hannah a cigarette. In the last episode, Hannah offered Ulrich a cigarette.
Hannah offered, oh, yeah, yep.
Yep. So, and she confirms to him that Ulrich is not her husband. This is when he finally asks about Agnes Nielsen. So Egon just a little slow to put the pieces together here, in lots of ways. So asks her if she knows Agnes Nielsen. She says she does not. Curious if, somehow they will end up being connected. Cause I do think Agnes and Hannah seem similar and seem to share, some characteristics, not just
physical. They've worn similar clothing before too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen both in very bright dresses, right? We've seen them in red and yellow dresses.
Yep.
And Egon asks her, "Are you traveling back today?" This is when Hannah says that she lost everything at home and she's looking for a fresh start. They make eyes as they light a cigarette, and obviously it's very heavily implied that she's going to stay there with him. So, you know, I think it's interesting that he uses the phrase, "Are you traveling back?" Because we've heard a lot about the travelers in this, and they do show that suitcase, which has the time machine in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Hannah really has lost everything at home. If you think about Hannah's 2020 timeline, it makes sense why she would just stay, because her son is gone. Ulrich is gone. I mean, what would she stay in Winden for? There's no reason.
Yeah, she said she had nothing. She's right.
So this is when we then cut back to the 80s. We see the dark screen. It's just like a dark blue hue over the screen. Claudia is watching Egon die. And then we see at the same time, the White Devil version of, or sorry, in the 50s, the White Devil version of Claudia is being covered by the coroner. This was interesting because this shot is in the opening credits. It's the last shot of the opening credits that we see is mm-hmm. a body being covered by the coroner. And I wasn't sure who that was. And that was, Claudia's body being covered.
Yep. And she's Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. What is she?
She was like jumping and separating in the credits too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Claudia.
Yeah, there's probably actually a lot of Claudia because we're seeing Tronte remove his pants in the opening credits in front of Claudia.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be very Claudia focused in the opening credits. Clausen is reading the letter, looking at the picture of him and his brother. I do actually like that idea that Peter is Clausen's brother. I think that might make a lot of sense. We see Alexander sitting in a jail cell. So we've seen a lot of characters, you know, mostly Ulrich in jail. I think we saw different versions of Ulrich in this jail. Now we're seeing Alexander in the jail cell. Katerina is looking at the machine. Martha is lying in her bed and the stranger is lying in his bed. And then we go to the Tiedemann household, Claudia's house in the 80s. And she gets home. She's carrying the device. Regina had left a note that she's sleeping over at a friend's house. I'm assuming that is Alexander's house that she's sleeping at. And, you know, talking about Hannah lost everything, Regina is about to lose everything as well. Because Claudia is going to be gone. Her grandfather is gone. So kind of makes sense why her and Alexander stay together, because that's kind of all she has at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia tries to clean the blood off of her hands. I was thinking too, just about how much blood and like fingerprints are probably all over Egon's apartment and now all over that house. I mean, I guess they could do a lot of cleaning to clean that off, but it's definitely like it was a messy death for Egon. Mm-hmm. And much like Katerina arrived at Hannah's house earlier to interrupt Jonas, we have Jonas arriving at Claudia's house. He has the key. Apparently the older version of Claudia gave it to him. And so he doesn't have to break anything, and he just walks in, and Claudia asks how he got in. Jonas says that you made me the key before you left. We need to get going. We don't have much time. Now this version of Jonas, it's a little confusing, but this version of Jonas that we are seeing is basically the version of Jonas that we've been following all season plus, about a year, I think, or maybe 6 months. Because this version of Jonas, it seems like, has been traveling and working with older Claudia since they left together on June 20th, 2019.
Yep.
So he's a little off the cycle at this point, really. Like, if everybody else is traveling in these 33-year increments, this is not a 33-year increment version of Jonas. This is a version of Jonas that is off that cycle but then traveling. So, and I think that's shown by how much his scars healed since the last episode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and he's in different clothes. He looks just like a little bit more like rougher and older. So, you know, whatever he's been doing, he's been learning about time travel from Claudia and what they must do.
Yeah.
And Jonas says to Claudia, he says, "She said it didn't have to happen again next time," which is a super confusing phrase, but basically saying like we can put a stop to these cycles of terrible things happening. So next time Egon doesn't have to die, because he says he knows what she did. So Claudia asks where they are going, and Jonas says to the future.
Yep, which is a Back to the Future line.
Yep. Yeah, it's the way that the Back to the Future ends is they're gonna go to the future.
Mm-hmm.
So and to the future we go to the season 2 finale, which is the next one that we're gonna cover. Last on our rewatch before we start getting into season 3 stuff. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's been a long journey to get to this point.
Yeah. So I remember parts of things from the finale, but I still can't remember everything. Like, I don't remember if we get much more from Hannah and Egon in the finale. And
I remember being underwhelmed by the finale.
Yeah, we're going to have the apocalypse happen. We're going to have Martha getting killed. Mm-hmm. The people in the bunker. We're going to find out about Elizabeth. We're going to have the Noah and Elizabeth reveal together. So I think it will be interesting to watch, having just seen everything. This season definitely packs a lot into it, obviously. So we've seen a whole lot in these 8 episodes, or 7 episodes so far. So it'll be fun to get to that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right. So let's do our MVPs from this episode.
I'll give my MVP to, Egon for finally realizing and getting this shit together, even if it was too late.
And he also met Hannah, which is probably going to be a life-changing meeting for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give mine to Hannah. She, along with Egon, had one of the scenes of the episode, and she realized that she didn't have anything for her in the present timeline, so she's going to stay, and she becomes the Black Angel in this episode.
Yeah, which no one ever calls her that, but you're going to call her that.
Well, she's wearing black, and Egon asks her if she's, or Ulrich asks her if she's an angel.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. I got that.
I think it's a good connection. It's the opposite.
It's like your fetch.
Yeah, I'm gonna make it happen. I'm like Anakin Skywalker. Are you an angel? So,
all right, that's our reference section of the podcast.
Yes. Who would have thought that the Phantom Menace would get a reference?
Lil Rascal's Phantom Menace. We got it all here.
That's true. Yeah.
We only watch the best here.
Exactly. All right. So that means Jonas still in the lead with 5 MVP points, followed by Noah, Ulrich, Mikkel, Claudia, and Egon with 3. Alexander and Hannah have 2. Tronte, Elizabeth, Charlotte, Gretchen, HG, Peter, Agnes, and Katerina have 1. So looks like Jonas at least is going to end up with a share of the MVP as we head into season 3.
That makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Well, Is there anybody that you're hoping that we get more of in the finale that we haven't, that you feel like you really want to get more information on before the season is over?
I feel like HG's been missing for a while.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well.
So, HG showing up, I'm assuming next season HG will finally meet Charlotte, because it doesn't happen this season, really, so.
Yeah, like you mean in the past?
Yeah.
Kid Charlotte, yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, I would think it would be good to have, to get more Trante as well. I mean, really, like the Freddie Mercury version of Trante from the 80s. I know that it's referenced that he's having an affair with Claudia, but that's it.
Yep.
And do you feel bad for Regina? On the day that her grandfather passes away, her mother disappears for 33 years.
Yeah, rough day.
Yeah, so it's a good thing that Alexander takes care of her. I guess Alexander just kind of takes over the power plant now that Claudia is gone. Him and the French delegation, maybe.
Yeah, Claudia was surprised about it when she finds out. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she disappeared. I guess when she found out, she didn't know she was going to disappear for 33 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all right, so we will find out. Oh, we're going to get some Clausen drilling, creating the time portal in the next episode, too.
Right.
So, all right. Well, tomorrow's Wednesday, the 24th, so we will be recording our Season 2 finale podcast, episode number 8. That episode is titled Endings and Beginnings. So the Season 1 finale was titled Beginnings and Endings. Oh, no, sorry, the Season 2 premiere was titled Beginnings and Endings. The Season 2 finale is titled Endings and Beginnings. It's a reversal of the title of Season 1, of Episode 1 from this season. So let us know if you have feedback, questions, or comments as we head towards our Season 2 premiere show. Sorry, as we head towards our Season 3 preview show. Let us know if you have questions and comments. Best way is either in the YouTube comments, or you can get at us on Twitter. I'm at Brooks ZA.
And I'm Aaron J-A-Y Brooks.
And we will see you next time for the Season 2 finale, Endings and Beginnings.
See you later.